You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity. And again, we're getting a little bit of a late start. I apologize, everyone, for that. So perhaps not neglecting, but we'll shorten our prayer for today. And we're going to be using, of course, the supplication, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be together. This is incredible. You know, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And truly blessed to be alive at this time. And again, this is the School of Mary. It's a kindergarten. It's a kindergarten of the divine will. It's a kindergarten we're going to be in for all of eternity, hopefully, if we get there. And I think we will get there because God is really, he's tugging at us. He's tugging at us like some would tug a stubborn mule. So the only way we're not going to get there is if we don't cooperate, if we're not attentive, if we don't listen, or if we don't want this gift. He says that. He says, I made this available to everybody in all circumstances, in all situations, in all conditions, except if the soul does not want it. God cannot give us a treasure if we don't want the treasure. It's incredible. It's here. And our job is to be the criers, hopefully, to announce this so that you may do your own research, your own due diligence, and come to the same conclusion that Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters came to, and many other people. He's calling a very small core group. So at this time, I'd like to bring in Italy, Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Mother, he says he's calling, I forget, it's volume 16, he's calling a small group to be more intimate with him than ever before so that we may cooperate in him diffusing this gift to all souls, past, present, and future. I mean, just to think about what he's saying, I hate to say it, but you almost cannot help but does Jesus really mean this? Because it sounds so incredible. But of course, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't give false promises like I should say. He means what he says, and he says what he means, Mother.
Yes, well, you know, he wants us to have that intimate relationship with him, and how do we get there? But I think what he's telling me in my heart right now is to accept everything at the present moment, whatever he sends your way, to accept it and just be resigned to whatever it is, whether it's the cross, whether it's a joy, a cross, a suffering, everything to give your fiat, you know. The crosses are what transforms us. We don't like to suffer. We like to feel good. We like everything to go pleasant and nice in our lives. And yet the Lord allows different things to happen in our lives. It's his permitting will very often. But that permitting will, he turns around to a greater good, greater glory for each one of us. I was just reading here in one of Luisa's letters. Her letters are really beautiful. Whatever God is teaching her, she's putting down in these letters. So the truths in the volumes, 36 volumes, are coming out in Luisa's letters. It says here, as many pains as you suffer, as many tears as you shed, so many are the angels around you gathering full-handed the pearls which you form with your sufferings, and bringing them to Jesus as pledges of your love. However, I beg you not to cover these pearls with the mud of your laments or of not being perfectly resigned to the most holy will of God. Therefore, be tranquil. Let's hope that everything goes well for the soul and for the body. She goes further to, in another letter, she says, what I recommend to you is to look at the divine will in all things, both the favorable and the adverse, painful, sorrowful ones, and in the contrast of life, which no one lacks. Everybody suffers. Everybody has conflicts in their lives, conflicts with other people that God uses those other people to help you become a saint. Blessed Jesus allows them in order to form the little rocks on which to raise the building of sanctity within us. Since without the cross, we would lack the primary element of becoming saints. Saying, I don't mean to become yourself a saint, means that you rely too much on yourself. You look at yourself instead of abandoning yourself in the arms of Jesus. Lean on him, and you will see that all things, pains, crosses, miseries, weaknesses, the very defects and illness will lose their look and will all turn into messengers of and bearers of sanctity. Sweet Jesus gave you everything to make you a saint. Call to religion, crosses, nourishment. And if you sin and are not holy, do you want to know the cause? Lack of union with Jesus. Union with Jesus floors all sins. Love kills all passions. And abandonment in him and trust are the nourishment in order to grow in sanctity. Here is the means to sin no more, to be united with Jesus, love him, and always do his will. Don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. Rather, even today, begin your life with Jesus, and you will find out for yourself how all things change for you. You will feel like another man, born again in all that is holy. So we lament over the past. We lament over our sins. He forgives us. He's merciful. He wants us to trust in his mercy and his love. It's almost like a slap in the face to God not to trust in his mercy. He wants you, you know, you go to confession, you're sorry for your sins, you're forgiven, you're absolved, and yet you keep lamenting when he's forgiven you over those sins. You know, he even told one saint, when she asked about some sins of the past, he says, I don't remember what you're talking about, you know. He doesn't remember your sins. After you're sorry for them, you're forgiven, it's all wiped away. And I think in the general judgment in the end, when everybody's judged and everyone sees everybody's life, every detail of their lives, perhaps those that were forgiven, those that were, you know, that you were sorry for, truly sorry, those events will not be there. You know, he says those living in divine will have no purgatory. Well, if they have no purgatory, that means there's nothing on their slate. It's all washed away. It's not in the memory of God. It must be all washed away completely, totally, you know. Yeah. If you would remember, it seems like you'd have to go to purgatory and repair for those sins. Divine Mercy Sunday seems like you get a clear slate. Your Divine Mercy Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, the church says that if you go to confession, go to communion and go to Mass and communion that day, and you're merciful to others, you pray prayers for the Holy Father on that day, that all your baptismal innocence is given back to you on that day. All your purgatory consequences of your sins are all washed away. So every year we get an opportunity to start a clear slate. Why do we lament over the past? Why do we lament over what we said or what we did? And we can't let it go. It's our pride.
We do that well, Mother, you know that? And when we don't do it well, somebody's around us to remind us about our sin.
That's right, that's right.
And so it's always...
And those opportunities we have with people reminding us are opportunities to grow in humility and to die to ourselves.
That's right.
It's an opportunity that God has given me to accept this present moment and to let it go and to not lament over it, not to think about it, not to worry about it. You know, he told Luisa, when we worry, we're out of his will. He wants us to let go of all these little idiosyncrasies, all these little things that happen to each person throughout the day. Children in school, they're not so nice to each other sometimes. They can be rude. If children learn how to deal with it, how to accept it, they won't be so wounded and hurt as they grow up. But okay. Our wounds and our hurts come from the way we look at things as children, how we perceive things. And if children are taught to perceive things in a charitable light, maybe they won't be as wounded when they grow up. They'll look at everyone and through the eyes of Jesus. That's why it's so important to teach little ones about the divine will. There's a school in Louisiana right now that there's opening this fall all divine will. The parents and the children have to go to Mass every day. The children would be taught from the drop book to start. They'll really? All learn in divine will, the whole school. Yeah. Wow. And so it's the staff all has to read the divine will and learn about it and learn how to live it. And so it's going to be a joyful school because what does divine will do? It gives you lots of joy and peace. That's going to be the happiest wow. school. Around, you know? So
I can't pray wait for to get that information school. On that. That's great, Mother.
Yeah. So pray for those people that I met with them when I went to Louisiana not long ago. And they showed me the buildings. They just have portable buildings right now because this is the beginning. They have about 48 to build on, you know, in the future. So
how many acres?
About 40 acres, I think.
Wow. They said. Wow, that's incredible. And the Dropbook series, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's a book written for children, but I'll be honest with you, it's so great for adults. It's on our website, both in text and in audio. There's an audio book that's free. And then you can also go to Amazon. You can buy it, the hard copy there. You go to queenofthedivinewill.org, and that's just look for the Dropbook series or Dropbook series, I think is what it's under. But that's great. You know, Mother, I remember somebody mentioning also, you talk about lamenting and you're never forgetting our past, and God wants us to do that. Move on. He tells us to do that. Someone once said that today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow.
Right.
About that. I mean, if we dwell on what we did or didn't do yesterday, yeah, we're gonna lose the opportunity we have today. And if we're too overzealous and planning for tomorrow, which nobody's guaranteed a tomorrow. Again, I'm not saying be ignorant of what's going on. We have to be, you know, understanding that we have certain responsibility, but we can't let that ruin now, because all God has given us right now, His will right now, is what we have right now. His right. will is for us to be communicating right now. Otherwise, He would disconnect us.
The past is dead. The future is unborn. We only have the present moment. We lament over what's unborn, the future, when you might not even have a future. Right. You know, my grandpa used to say all the time, they've been talking about the end of the world since I was a little boy. He says, but the end of the world comes every day to many people, you know, and so you don't know when the end of the world is going to come for you. You have to live every day, just the moment, live in the moment so you don't mess up the moment. If you worry about the future and you worry about the past, you're messing up the present moment. And you're going to lose what you could do in the present moment.
Well said.
Yeah.
Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter. Hey, everyone. As you guys were talking about, you know, kind of lamenting over our past and our sins, I heard a great line. I watched on the plane a movie called Jesus Revolution. I think it's actually still in the movies right now, but somehow it ended up on the plane. It's with the actor. I forgot what's his name? Yeah, Jonathan Rumi, the one who plays Jesus in the Chosen series.
Yeah, it was
it was a Christian movie. It was a very, very good movie, but there was a great
one. He's Catholic himself.
Yes. Catholic, how I knew I could trust the movie, because you never know what you're going to watch on the plane. But it was a really great movie, and there was a great line. There was a Protestant pastor that was struggling with one of his failures, with a mistake that he felt like he made. And his wife, who was just very wise, she said, "Listen, don't be so arrogant to think that God can't use your failures for His glory." And I just thought, oh, that's a great line that I'm going to keep going back to. Because sometimes you get so stuck in our past. Oh, because I've ruined God's plans. He's so much bigger than our mistakes. And He can bring out a great glory even from our very failures. So there's really, really nothing to worry about. Okay. The passage I chose today was from volume 35, August 29th, 1937. Peter, you and I were talking a little bit off air just how great the volume 30s are. It's like the higher the volumes go, it's like, I mean, I'm not a musical person. I don't even know what you call it in music, but really when like everything just comes to the climax.
It's like a crescendo. Yeah, everything's coming to the climax. It's ending. He's sending us out. And before He sends us out, He's making sure that our suitcases are full of what we need, not what we don't need. And yeah, they are great. But that doesn't mean neglect the others.
Exactly.
And you know what I think really quickly, sister, the third are so vital and so great and useful is because we have gone through the volumes. And again, building that crescendo, building that wave, that tsunami that finally, you know, the wave finally flips over at 36 and then He sends us out. But it is spectacular.
Yeah, amen. The preparation was necessary. Otherwise, you can't appreciate what's written.
That's a better way of saying it. Thank you.
No, you said it perfect, Peter. Okay, so Jesus tells Louisa, "How much more should I tell you, my daughter, of the great gift we gave to the soul by creating her human will?
First, we created space, then the sky, the stars, the sun, the air, the wind, and so on. That space had to serve us so that we can create all of our other works. It would not be a work. It would not be a work worthy of our wisdom to create things without having the space to put them in. In the same way, by creating the human will, we created the vacuum, the place in which to place the great gift of our most holy will that we gave to man. This space had to serve our operating will. We were to place in it the most extensive heavens and the brightest suns, not a single one, but one for each time man would act. That is why, while creation had to serve man, this space of the human will was to serve his God, to form his delights, to always be able to form his resting place, his throne, his divine chamber. I gave man this gift, forming this space within him, to have a place where I could communicate with him, to relate to him individually in sweet fellowship. I wanted to have my sweet chamber. My love wanted to tell him many things, but I wanted the right surroundings in which to speak with him, and where my love could come to give itself completely to man, while he would completely abandon himself in God. This is why I so love the thought of man living in our will, because I want what I created to be only for myself. I reclaim my resting place, my throne, my divine chamber. I cannot complete creation until man comes back into my divine will and gives me my royal place within his will. We have so many more beautiful things to do, many more things to say inside our space of the human will, but we cannot say them or do them because our will is missing. We find our space all cluttered, so we do not have the space where we can place our works. If we want to speak, he will not understand. He will not even have the ears to hear. That is why we will work unheard of prodigies to regain what is ours, the space to place our works, our divine chamber. I was reading this the other day in the piazza where we are. We just have this gorgeous view, and it just blew my mind. And Jesus says divine chamber like four times in this passage. I'm just like, divine chamber. And the Italian word is, I would imagine, I didn't go back to the Italian, writings, but would be camera, which means bedroom. Which I was thinking of just like the bridal chamber. You know, a lot of times in my prayer lately, mm-hmm. especially when I'm reading the divine will, I just keep thinking of this spousal analogy about how God wants to marry us. And this is the beauty of our human will. We're the bride of Christ, you know, both men and women. You know, the church itself mm-hmm. is bride of Christ, and our human will is such a beautiful gift that we just have to constantly keep open to the divine will and receptivity. He just wants to enter it and pour out his abundance. I mean, what is the divine will? It's everything. It's God himself. It's all of his desires. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants to pour everything into us. And all we have to do is leave our human will open to him. And that's what he desires so much. We have to place ourselves always in the posture of Our Lady, who is the perfect bride, who's the model for us.
You know, sister, not to interrupt you, but that's a great point. And, you know, and Father Iannuzzi made that point a couple of weeks ago here on Radio Maria. And this really stays with me. We always talk about, and Jesus talks about, that this is the greatest gift that I have given to mankind. He says that, we know that, we repeat that. But it's one step further. It's, yes, this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but also, in fact, even maybe more importantly, it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. There's nothing greater because he's giving all of himself. So right. To understand that and to miss the mark or miss the bus, I mean, if you have not journeyed in the divine will, if you haven't experienced any of this stuff we're talking about, because it's real, what do you have to lose? Give it a week. You know, pray. Say, Lord, I don't know what this is. I don't understand it. I'm not very intelligent. That's what I say to my Lord every day. But please help me, because I do want what they're speaking about. And it's guaranteed he's going to do it. He's going to put a little fire in your heart, and he's going to lead you to what you need and I need that's going to help us on this journey. Because again, we're all slightly different, yet we're all the same. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, actually, just a little, I wasn't going to read this part of the passage. I think it was in the next passage where Jesus is basically tell Louisa, I just wait for a little sigh, a little desire. That's all I'm looking for. And I just want to pour everything into the soul. Yeah. So it really doesn't take much. It's so easy. And just one last thing, as I was meditating on this, you know, it's very, I feel like it's very easy for us women to really, you know, meditate on the spousal analogy. You know, Christ is the bridegroom and we're the bride and we have to be receptive. It's so beautiful. But I do know that probably could be hard for some men. But I was also thinking, you know, Christ gives us the perfect example. If some men have difficulty, you know, kind of meditating on that spousal analogy, Jesus had to be receptive too. You know, that's that one eternal act, the Father pouring himself out into the Son, generating the Son, and the Son returning that love completely to him. That's what living in the divine will is. He wants to swoop us up into that act of Trinitarian love, in all in the unity of the Holy Spirit. So you can also, you know, for the men out there who may struggle with the spousal analogy, you're the bride of Christ too. But remember, Christ had to receive too. In his human will, he was constantly receiving from the Father. And just the last thing that was coming to me when I was praying with this, how is he receiving from the Father? He was doing it every moment and every breath. There was that constant union. But he was also, even during his busy public ministry, he had 30 years of that hidden life. But he also, in his busy public ministry, he had to find the time to pray. He had to find that time of intimacy with his Father. And I invite everybody out there, men, women, we all need to receive the love of the Father. We have to receive his will. We can do it in our busy lives. We can do it with every breath. We can do it with every act. But we really need to find that time of prayer and intimacy where that relationship is developed. That's what Teresa of Avila basically called contemplative prayer. It's the union of our will with God's will.
Beautiful. I agree. Real men journey in the divine will. Yeah, remember that phrase years ago, like real men eat quiche or something like that. Real men do. They you know, and it's so beautiful because usually whenever we have a synagogue, there's a vast majority over women over men. You know, the numbers, and but you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes we need to be invigorated. Like, for example, I went to a men's retreat real quickly up in Wilkes-Barre. I think Scott Hahn was one of the speakers, and there was like 1,000 men, and just to be in the middle of 1,000 men praying the rosary. And I'm like, I'm used to all women around me. It's just really beautiful. And I think sometimes we need to be energized, but yeah, we shouldn't be fearful of spousal. We're not losing any masculinity. In fact, we're gaining in it because, again, we're following our blessed Lord. I'd like to go into the break, if I may, mother and sisters, with sort of a one-liner. This comes from, again, speaking, Sister Francesca, speaking about volume 36. This is volume 36, August 28th, 1938. And this is Jesus say, quote, "We can say that man changed our destiny as well as his own. He turned upside down our designs for him, and he keeps causing pain to our arm, which continues to love him and to give him life," end quote. Even through all that, he remains loving of us, wanting to give at every moment, giving when we don't even want to receive a love that we cannot explain. It's mystical. But he does tell Louisa, and he does tell us, that it's been 6,000 years since the fall of Adam. He's given us everything we need for salvation and for sanctification, which is the gift of living the divine will. This is everything. This is now. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Finally arrived here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Speaking of Radio Maria, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our homes, our places of business, in our cars, and anywhere we may be. But it does take, we talked about cooperation today, and it takes cooperation. We can all participate in the evangelization that Radio Maria continues to give us and provide us. And, you know, you're never going to measure the effects. I mean, yeah, you can look at ratings, and I guess they can do some screening and some cold calls, and, you know, are you listening? And I guess there's some metric somewhere. But how do you count the lives that have been saved, the lives that have been turned around, the people brought back to the faith? These are immeasurable metrics. And again, all for one. I would have done all this for one. Radio Maria would have done all this for one, but we know it's much more than that. So again, if we can participate, God knows what we can do. He knows what we cannot do. So don't worry if you cannot, but worry if you can and you don't. Please go to radiomaria.us or simply call, I have the number here, 888-408-0201, please. 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. I'm going to offer also a couple of gifts. And again, if you're listening to this live, great. If you're listening to this in the archives, great. The offer still stands. There's two gifts. One is an I Am Catholic card, which is about the size and thickness of a credit card. Only this card will not incurred debt, but I actually be an asset to you. It says, in case of emergency, please call the priest and ask the act of contrition on the back. So I am Catholic card number one. Number two, we have a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. We know how important relics are. We know the hemorrhaging woman who touched the tassel of our Blessed Lord and was healed. Maybe that was the institution of the relics. Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, we have these gifts. We'd love to give them to you. Please call 888-408-0201 or go to RadioMaria.us. We're really looking for reoccurring monthly installments, which would help Radio Maria understand what is coming in and what they can do. Because again, it's growing. If you listen to the station IDs in the beginning, we're going to need a whole program just for the station IDs. And that's a great problem. So if you build it, they will come. So again, this is the School of Mary with Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. You know, really quickly, before we get on to Sister Jacinta, I know she's ready to go. You know, God keeps upping the ante. You know, I think Sister Francesca or Mother, you mentioned about divine mercy. All our sins and punishment of the sins are forgiven, and we have that 1 year to worry about. And then God goes further. And now with the gift of living in divine will, if we live this gift perfectly and completely, we avoid purgatory. He says that. And I think that's in volume 18, which carries the church and Vermontra and Helopsa. He goes one step further too with moving God. You know, he says the most important thing to receive this gift is to move God to want to give this gift. Now he says he wants to be enchanted. He's giving us a greater opportunity to, I guess, further move him. I guess movement is embedded in enchantment, but enchantment may not be embedded in movement. So what he's saying is enchant him so that he can give us more. He says we need more, quote, you know, you do not know how necessary these enchantments are in these times in which so many evils will come, end quote. So God is giving us an opportunity to give him more so he can give us more, knowing, because God knows what exactly is coming. And he does it in a beautiful way. If I have time at the end, I'd like to read a couple lines, but I don't have time right now because I'm looking at Sister Jacinta. She's not looking at me, but she's ready to speak. Hello, Sister.
Yeah, so as Mother was saying earlier with the crosses, like, it's really true, like, in our fallen human nature, we all have this tendency to prefer, like, being comfortable and, like, to avoid the cross. But in the divine will, Jesus teaches us, like, the beauty of the cross, the beauty of just saying, giving our fiats every day in little ways and, like, giving up our comforts. So in volume 22, August 15th, 1927, Luisa was thinking about the sacrifice that God asked of Adam and Abraham, of Adam, of depriving himself of a fruit which he denied to God, and then of Abraham, of sacrificing his only son. And as he was about to sacrifice his son, God stopped him. And then after that, God lifted him up and made him praised for all generations to this day. So as Luisa was thinking about this, Jesus was, so in this passage, you can read that Jesus is inviting her to distinguish what he wanted from Adam and Abraham. And then from this, he goes on to connect it with how the same thing happens in all creatures, how every day Jesus asks us of these little sacrifices. So Jesus tells Luisa, the same happens in all creatures. It is my usual way to ask for small sacrifices, depriving oneself of a pleasure, of a desire, of a small interest, of a vanity, or detaching oneself from something that seems to do one no harm. These small tests serve as little shelves on which to place the great capital of my grace in order to dispose them to accept greater sacrifices. And when the soul is faithful to me in the small tests, then I abound in grace and ask for greater sacrifices, so as to be able to abound yet more in giving, and I make of her a portent of sanctity. How many sanctities begin from a small sacrifice, and how many after denying me a small sacrifice, as it seemed to them that it was something of no importance, have remained scrawny in good, green tennis in comprehending it, weak in walking on the way that leads to heaven.
So right here, we read that how important it is to just give our fiats and all these small sacrifices Jesus is asking us, because it's like the small sacrifices that dispose us to make the bigger ones. And if we're not faithful in the small tasks, then that means God can't entrust us with the greater tasks that he wants to give us. And a great example is Our Lady. Like every day, she gave her fiat to God. And finally, when she was before, when she was standing on Calvary, watching her son die, she was able to even give her fiat in that moment. And what really disposed her was all the previous fiat she gave, which helped her with give this big fiat. So Our Lady is a good example of just submitting ourselves to the sacrifice.
Yeah, and it's the little things, you know, God makes it so easy for us. Remember, if you had to make this available to everyone, we're all subject to these small situations that come about, these small opportunities, small challenges. Again, if we're waiting for the big one, they may come, you know, once or twice a lifetime, or maybe never. So he's giving us the opportunity through the small, which everybody experiences, everybody suffers. Last but not least, also, you talked about grace and how much grace is here on the cross. Actually, Jesus says that he placed more grace in the cross than he did in the sacraments. That's incredible. Hello, Sister Elizabeth.
Hi. Yeah, exactly. As you said, he placed more grace in cross than in the sacraments. It just made me think that there was this lady that came to visit us this morning all the way from Naples. And she had this incredible story how she started reading the Divine Will just 2 years ago, and she has four children and problems in her marriage, but she finally got her husband to get married in the church because he's not a believer, but she offered her marriage in reparation for all marriages. And I mean, like, we are all called, like, in a way, in all the circumstances that come in our life, to say fiat, to do them in the divine will, and probably God. I mean, we all have part in the redemption and in the sanctification. And like she felt called, for example, to offer this in the divine will, her marriage in reparation for all the marriages. She was saying, you know, from the moment in the morning that she makes coffee for him and he's abusive and all, but like really kind of offer it all to Jesus in reparation. And I have here from volume 34, July 12, 1937. how the divine will converts its love into nature, and what it does at the point of death. It anticipates it for one who lives in it. And it's just interesting how in this passage, you know, talks about also what I talked with the priest yesterday at the confession. He was telling me passages from the Bible that I now don't remember because there were so many. How really it's in the scripture that the purification by fire, those who don't accept willingly the suffering that God brings them in this life will get it in the purgatory, be purified, you know, by fire. And so in this passage, my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, only in my will can the soul arrive at the apex of the highest sanctity and enclose in herself, for as much as is possible for a creature, a complete act, such as to fill herself so much as to not leave any void in her. Because in purgatory, we will fill all these voids that we create, the voids of love that we didn't give to God. So much so as to convert into her own nature the good that she does. If she loves in my fiat, the wave of love rains on her everywhere. It invests her most intimate fibers. And while its rain pours over her, sweeping her away in love, It assumes the aspect of queen and converts into nature its love in the creature, but so much so that she will feel the breath, the heartbeat, the motion, the step, all her being, that she does not know how to do anything other than love. This wave of love arises even to heaven without ceasing to reign over her, and she takes her creator by storm, and she always loves him, because when good is converted into one's nature, one feels the need of repeating the received good as act that constitutes her life. If she adores, she will feel her nature changed into an adoration, such that in everything she will feel profound adorations coming forth for her creator. Not only at the adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but just looking at the creation, you know, looking at the sunset or a flower. If she repairs, she will feel the course of going to search out all the offenses in order to place her reparation there. In sum, my will, with its creative strength, does not leave any void, and it knows how to convert into nature everything that the creature does in it. See what difference there is between one who lives in my will and possesses it as operating life, and one who knows it as virtue, and perhaps in the most sorrowful circumstances of life, and in all the rest, as if it were not for them. So, yes, this is, I mean, beautiful how really converted in our nature, in everything we do, as I said, in all the circumstances of life, really that God is putting us in front of us. So it's just to be attentive, to recognize it, and to say our fiat in every instant.
So true. So true. Hello, Sister Pamela.
Hello, how are you?
Are you getting tied up on the cords?
Yeah.
As long as it's not around your neck, I think you're safe.
So I was thinking today on how today is the Feast of St. Lawrence. Yes. And he's known for his martyrdom. Sorry for my accent sometimes.
Your ESL is beautiful.
But anyway, I was thinking in my adoration, like, how can I be a martyr? Like, how can I be? And then all of a sudden, this light came into my mind, like, oh, silly, you're dying to your human will every day. So that is really hard. And I think it's even greater, because it's like our tendency of our human will is always going against the will of God. So that is actually a martyrdom that we have every day when we say fiat is dying to the self, and then being always crucified with God and crucifying this divine love of not doing our human will. And I just wanted to share that, because it was something that I was meditating in my adoration. And because sometimes we think that only the saints from the past or only courageous people are called to this life of dying, or like giving this courageous fiat of I want to give you my life. But no, in every single time of our life, even when we are suffering, and we in the instant we might be rejecting the pain, but and not only physically but spiritually. And but then later on, when you said okay fiat, after maybe thinking about it twice, God takes into account the outcome of that fiat that you gave to him. And today I was reading from volume 14, October 6, 1922, and I love this. When I was reading it, I was so impressed on how Jesus was talking to Luisa so firm and so convinced of the importance of living in his divine will. And he's saying, my daughter, let us pray together. Let us enter into the immensity of my will, so that nothing may come out of you which is not plunged into it. The thought, the word, the heartbeat, the work, the step, everything must take its place in my will. And for each thing you do in it, you will take one more possession and will acquire a greater right. Now this plain, this little river in my volition, I want from you. Let each one of your thoughts flow in it, so that in the reflections of our intelligence, which is the thought of each one, it may rise over each intelligence and give us the homage of each thought in a divine manner. And then Luisa said to him, my love Jesus, how is it possible that after so many centuries of life of the church, which has put out so many saints, and many of them have astonished heaven and earth with their virtues and with the wonders they perform, they will not operate fully in the divine will so as to form this plane you are talking about. Were you waiting just for me, the most incapable, the most bad little one and ignorant, in order to do this? It seems just incredible. And Jesus said, listen, my daughter, my wisdom has means and ways which man ignores, such that he is obliged to lower his forehead and adore it in mute silence. And it is not up to him to dictate to me the laws whom I should choose and the appropriate time, which my goodness disposes. And besides, first I had to form the saints who were to resemble me and copy my humanity in a more perfect way, as much as is possible for them. And this I have already done. Now my goodness wants to go beyond and wants to give in to greater excesses of love. And therefore I want them to enter into my humanity and copy what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. And it goes longer, but I just wanted to quote this part of how we need to believe in him. We need to have faith. We shouldn't question whatever God wants to do in the present moment. We shouldn't question if his divine will is good or not, if this reading book of heaven is heresy or not. It's just, it's God. And we don't have anything else to do. I mean, he says it. You need to bow down your forehead and just adore it and believe it. And just believe that he is God and that he's just everything that he proposes, everything is good. And it is good for each one of us. And we shouldn't be questioned if it is good or not. We should just believe in it and have faith and even believe that you are presently living in a divine will in the precise moment that you wake up from bed and you say, okay, I want to fuse myself in this divine volition. And it's, that's it. I mean, it's not that hard. You shouldn't complicate yourself on thinking that you are not living in the divine will, because you are. And if your desire is always living, is to live in the divine will and let him act in you, it's happening. It's just we are not able to understand it, but we will understand it later on when we go to heaven and we die. But at the moment when you're living here on earth, just have faith and believe in him and just trust in his will.
Yeah, you know, it's right on point, Sister Pamela, because Jesus tells us that the divine will has two opposite effects. I think it's in volume 36 also. He says, for those who trust him and believe him, it's light and life. And for those who are looking just to find fault and sort of pick at it and don't believe and trust him, it's blindness. So, you know, the blindness gets even worse until they give God an opportunity. Say, Lord, okay, I understand this, but help me. I want this. That's all we need to do. And last but not least, you also said about the plane. You know, God talks about three planes, and actually we have a diagram about the three planes of God, planes, P-L-A-N-E-S. It's on our website, queenofthedivineworld.org, on the page entitled Divine World Visual Aids. Hello, Sister Gloria. We've got about
five minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go straight to the text. It is from volume 4. July 16, 1901. I think today's theme is purgatory, and I think really they need a lot of prayer from us. Today I want to tell you something which will be of great consolation for you, and which you have never understood. Know that each soul during the whole course of her life is obliged to love me constantly, with no interval. And if she does not love me always, she leaves as many voids in her soul for as many days, hours, or minutes in which she has neglected to love me. But no one will be able to enter heaven if he has not filled these voids, and one will only be able to fill them by loving me twice as much for the rest of his life. And if he does not arrive at doing this, he will fill them by dint of fire in purgatory. And now, when you are deprived of me, the privation of the beloved makes love double. And by this, you come to fill the voids that there are present in your soul. So the soul must be completely transformed in Jesus, and we have to become another Christ in order to go to heaven. And why don't many souls go straight to heaven? It is because we complain, we grumble, we moan, and we even struggle against the will of God, and we protest against the cross when it's given in our life. And sometimes we even blaspheme when we have a trial. And in our lives, we occupied ourselves with so many worldly things other than God, doing our own will. And when the hour of death comes, when it arrives, then we are not ready. We're not purified. So God, in his mercy, he added more time, which is the purgatory, to purify us. And it is neither punishment nor the suffering in itself, but it is the fire of love that purifies us, and it fills the voids of love that we neglected in our lives. So one day we might be sorry for having loved God so little on earth, but holy souls in purgatory, they long to see God because they have already tasted his amazing love, and they don't want to come back to earth. They want to finish their purification, and they are happy to be saved, and they are sure of their eternal happiness, that they are going to live forever with God. So we got to remember to pray for these suffering souls and our brothers and sisters in purgatory to reduce their time. And they're really eagerly waiting for our prayers. Just an hour of adoration, a mass, a rosary, or just little sacrifices that help them. So then how can we go straight to heaven? We got to try to live in his will, to making our will immerse in his will. Like Sister Pamela said, we got to keep giving our little fiat to his will and accept all the opportunities that God gives us on earth to purify ourselves. Any trial, sickness, conflicts, misunderstandings, or humiliation, we got to welcome them with gratitude and not with bitterness. And his love for us has no beginning or no ends. And the will of God, it will make us completely transform in Jesus. So we got to trust in his mercy and love.
Yes, and that's a very important passage too, Sister Gloria, about the voids that we must fill in our life. Mother, 30-second wrap-up.
Okay, and from one of Louise's letters, here is a secret of to becoming a saint. Be together with Jesus. Never deny him anything. And in everything you do, even in necessary things of life, in the pains you suffer, in the prayers you say, in the work, in the food, in the sleep, say to him from the heart, Jesus, I want to do always your will. In this way, you will always keep the fiat on your lips, in your mind, and in your heart. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Please contact Radio Maria, 888-400-0201 or radiomaria.us. Please give if you can. God knows if you can give. And last but not least, St. Cyril Jerusalem, church father and doctor. Not speaking about the final coming, but he says, quote, we do not preach one coming of Christ, but two. And the second are more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience. The second coming will bring the crown of a divine kingdom. End quote. St. Cyril Jerusalem, church father and doctor. God's given us all the breadcrumbs we need. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Ciao.
Recording stopped.